Well, this is a different type of Making It Grow. We're doing these podcasts, trying to be a little more up-to-date, Tony Melton, my dear friend.
Oh, yeah, got to be up-to-date.
We're going to try. It's hard for you and me.
Yeah, I know it.
But, Tony, we've had a caller recently who had something that I've seen a lot. When you pull your okra up, we were talking about fall gardens and cleaning up after your summer garden, and when you pull the okra up a lot, poor okra, sometimes it hardly has any roots at all. It's got these little white bumps on it. And that means you've got a nematode infestation.
That's right, Amanda. Nematodes are tough. And actually, there's about 25 or 26, depending on who you're talking to, number of parasitic nematodes for plants in South Carolina. We have some new ones that have just came in. Actually, we just got a new one in that is a new nematode on, especially bad on sweet potatoes. It came in from different places on sweet potatoes in the South Carolina, and it's going to be giving us a little bit more of a trouble.
Well, first of all, tell everybody what a nematode is.
It is a microscopic,
a worm. A little round, it's called a round worm.
Yes, right, it's a round worm. Microscopic, real small, and they infect the roots of plants. If it's a parasitic one, there is a lot of good nematodes.
Yeah, some of them are good.
Yeah, some of them actually feed on other nematodes. But the ones that are parasitic feed on the roots of plants.
And root knot nematode is what I see on my okra, I believe.
Yes, the one. Yes, ma'am. That's usually the worst one for the garden. But there are other ones like sting and ring that give all different types of plants a hard time in South Carolina. And just think about it. If you couldn't get food out of the, just like plants, that's where they get their water and food and all and nutrients and everything out of the ground. So how in the world can it grow properly if it can't get what it needs from the soil?
And nematodes are worse on lighter soils, I believe.
Usually sandier soils. And when I grew up MacBee, and that's where we had real nematode problems up there in MacBee. And back a long time ago, farmers used to use fumigants in the soil. And it actually, we don't do that anymore most of the time. We don't do that anymore. And some of those fumigants actually have got into the groundwater in different places of the state.
So that's one of the things is a lot of people have felt like they just didn't have any way to control nematodes. But you said, and we're talking about fall gardens, we've been talking about them, you said that actually the brassicas, besides tasting good and being real good for you, that some of the brassicas, the mustards, the kales, the collards, that some of those can be used in a certain way to not only enjoy eating, but at the end of the year can help us control our nematodes. So explain that to us, Tony, and how you would go about growing a crop and then use it for nematode control.
Yes, you can. There's all different new ones you can buy, you know, to have more of the product that actually control the nematodes. But my favorite is to just grow what I like.
Yeah,
I like grow things like Southern Dried Curled Mustard. It's one of my favorite foods, and I love it. And it has a lot of that, it has a heat in it. It has a lot of the chemical that actually controls the nematode. And you can take and cut that and eat it for a while and then let it grow up. And it actually, when you till it down into the ground, it will help control the nematodes. It produces, cut up about it, say, well, it stinks so bad when it degrades in the soil that when that
runs
comes
off
up through the soil, it kills the nematodes. But it is a chemical that actually comes
but
up through the soil.
But it's just a product that the plant makes. It's one
that's
of
right.
the one of the
natural.
It synthesizes that makes it. That's just a part of what makes mustard taste the way mustard takes.
That's right.
So growing the mustard isn't going to help.
That's right. It needs to be into the soil.
And incorporated.
Incorporated. And as it degrades in the soil and as it rots, it releases that chemical. It comes up through the soil and it actually controls the nematodes.
Does it make a difference if I plant the mustard early and turn it under, or do I have to wait and do it real late in the spring? What's the best time to do it?
Really, you can do it any time, but I like to plant it early so I can eat it. I like to get some harvest out of it. And you can just go in and take a knife, or you can even take a hedge trimmer and just cut that mustard off, take it in the house, cook it, let it regrow, cut it off again, take it in the house and cook it, do that two or three times, and then let it grow up. When you get tired of it, let it grow up as tall as it can, and then mow it and till it into the soil.
All right, mow it and till it in. And yeah, that way I've really broken it up, because I need to rupture the cells to start releasing that compound.
That's right. It helps to get it out of the plant as quickly as possible and into that soil. And then if it's cool, it actually stays in that soil a good little longer period of time and kills nematode for a longer period of time.
Okay. Now, I've heard that nematodes are something called an obligate parasite.
Yes.
And that means they have to have that something to be eating, or otherwise they won't live.
They can go into a stage where they can winter over. You know, they go into a stage, but sooner or later they got to have something
to
eat,
or
they'll starve to death. So that's some plants, you know, like marigolds. That's one thing that's what they do. A lot of people always thought, well, I can plant some marigolds. But a lot of times they just starve the nematodes instead of actually killing the nematodes, like your brassica crops will do. They'll actually go into the soil and actually kill the nematodes.
So leaving the soil fallow, and I couldn't even let any weeds grow in it. If I had an area that I mulched real well, that might starve them.
That's right.
Would it help a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Okay.
They will go into that form where they kind of go into dormancy for a long period of time, but they will starve if they don't have anything.
But a better thing to do would be to plant the mustard and mow it and turn it in.
That's right. Okay. Mustard and even collards do pretty good. Some of my big growers, they don't have to worry about nematodes because they grow so much of the collards and turnips and mustard, and it just really takes care of them.
So some of our tomato plants have letters that come after them, like VFN. And that means that there's been some resistance that they've been selected for. And that N, and that means nematodes?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
But we don't have that for okra, unfortunately.
That's unfortunately. It's such a small crop that in okra, nematodes love okra. That's it. It's just one of their favorite plants.
I love okra, too.
I do, too. And so that's one of the, and I'd like to stress that to homeowners, because that's one good way to get rid of nematodes without having to do anything drastic. And you're also producing a good crop.
Yeah. Now, fig trees seem to also be affected by nematodes. Is that true?
Very bad, very badly. Root knot, again, is the worst one on a fig tree. And actually, if I was going to plant a fig tree, I might go into that area and plant some mustard for a year or two before I do that. And that would help tremendously on that fig tree.
Okay. Well, nematodes are here to stay. And at the moment, we're going to use some natural ways to control them. And we're going to eat good all winter while we get ready to turn that mustard under.
That's right.
Okay, Tony. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda.